Hey guys, this is Mike Colby
and Jack Billings
from the podcast Jack Billings Presents Me and My Neighbor Michael. Welcome to Drunk Medical Stories.
It's a podcast where two women who definitely are not doctors discuss wild medical stories
with the aid of medicinal beverages of the boozy variety.
This podcast is rated explicit for language and adult content. Enjoy.
They also recommend a strong stomach as they will be discussing the occasional graphical medical...
graphic medical conditions? Gross.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Drunk Medical Stories. I am your host, Terry, and this week's episode is called Ironic, emphasis on the I. So, as you can tell, Claire is not here. She's not joining us this episode. She is off on her honeymoon to Viva Las Vegas. So, we'll catch up with her when she returns, but I do have a special co-host guest with me. Who are you?
Hi, this is Michael Colby from the podcast Jack Billings Presents Me and My Neighbor Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Thanks
I'm
for
here.
Joining.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's very exciting. I really enjoy this podcast and have since you started it.
Well, thank you so much for that. And I'm excited that you're on. And for that, I'm going to treat you with your favorite drink because I am no mixologist like Claire is. And she likes to do all the fancy drinks. I myself am a beer girl. So I am treating you with Coronas tonight.
Oh, you know that's my favorite.
I do. So we are going to pop open our bottles, do a little chug, and we are going to get started.
Oh, are we only supposed to be started drinking like now? Because I got to tell you, this is not my first one.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah, the rules were you had to wait till this pod started before you started drinking.
Oh, no. I broke the rules. I broke the podcast rules.
Okay. Well, you know, you are a guest.
Yes.
So I will allow it.
No rules for the guests. I can do whatever
I want. No rules
for
the guests. That is right. Okay. Well, I'm going to take a sip real quick. Okay. We are going to dive in and talk about all things eyes. So I've got a few fun facts I just want to go over real quick before we get into the juicy part of the stories.
Yeah.
So did you know?
Let's get this learning over with before we get into the gross stuff.
The favorite part.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Okay. Well, did you know that the eyes themselves are not what actually allow you to see? They are simply a conveyance for messages sent from the brain via the optic nerve.
I didn't know that, but now I do. I also think that you also broke the rules.
Shh. I am the host here. And I plead the fifth.
Okay, so no rules for the host and no rules for the guest. So what you're saying is there's no rules.
When Claire's away, we will do whatever the freak we want.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So similarly, did you know that only 1/6 of your eye is even visible to the outside world? So it's like you've got your own little iceberg right there in your eyeball socket.
Oh,
a little bit
little
on top.
Moist, squishy iceberg.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I say the word moist just because people love that word, right?
Moist. Moist.
Oh, God.
I love that word. Moist.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. Sorry, everyone.
And your eyes are comprised of more than 2 million connecting working parts.
That's a lot of
parts. I did not know that the eyes consisted. I thought it was a couple strings holding it in from falling out. And, you know, that just helped kept them in your head.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently not. So
no, I don't think that's how they work. They're pretty complicated.
They're very complicated. So some fascinating facts about the eyes continues. Your eyes focus on 50 different objects every second. every second you're looking at 50 different, they could be minute, objects.
Okay.
The only organ more complex than the eye is the
butt.
Well,
no, I'm probably your brain.
You are correct on your brain. However, if you do have Taco Bell late night on a 3 a.m., you know, drunk run.
Yeah. 3 a.m. Taco
Bell.
Your
butt could be just as complicated.
Yeah. You're going to be focusing in on 50 things.
Your eyes can distinguish approximately 10 million different colors. I didn't even know 10 million different colors existed in this world.
Yeah, they don't. That's just a lie made up by big colors.
Just colors within colors within colors within colors called another color.
Yeah, you're just taking blue and calling it a different blue. Just shut up. It's blue.
It's Charmaine. It is impossible to sneeze with your eyes open. I have tried.
I'm not convinced that that's not just like an urban legend. I mean, I've tried too. You can hold them open.
By force.
Yeah, by force.
Well, people out there, just test that. And if anybody can prove that it can be done, send me a video.
Yeah, let's see it. Yeah, I also want to see the videos. Post it up on Twitter.
Okay, Twitter at DMSPod.
At my neighbor Mitch1.
There we go. Ometophobia is the fear of eyes. So I'm thinking this is a fear of eyes due to a traumatic situation that happened. It's the fear of their eyes, whether it's drops that were put in incorrectly, maybe hurt, maybe had an accident, torn retinas, things like that, that just traumatize you. And therefore, you now have the fear of your eyes.
That sounds terrible, to have a fear of your own body part.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't put...
Especially your eyes.
Yeah. I wear glasses so that I don't have to put contact lenses in, but it's not fear. It's just, I don't know, gross.
It's just vain beauty.
What, the glass?
You just don't want to wear those glasses?
No, I do wear glasses because I don't want to touch my own eyeballs.
Oh.
I'm not vain. I don't know if you've ever seen me, but...
No. Well, a lot of people wear contacts because they hate glasses. They think glasses make them look ugly.
No.
And I have always worn glasses.
Yeah, me too.
So I don't understand.
Yeah.
So
whatever. Let people.
Your eyes can detect. Right. Your eyes can detect a candle flame 1.7 miles away. I don't know who did that study and why.
Scientists.
And if it was. Well, they get the big bucks.
I would hope
this is what they're doing with their education.
Yeah, I would hope they weren't getting too big of bucks for doing experiments to see how far away people could see candles.
I would have liked to have been in that study because I guarantee you my eyes would not detect that candle, probably not even within 2 feet of my face.
Do you get to wear your glasses?
That is
while
how
you're
blind
that?
I am. If I wore my glasses, it would be 2 feet. If I did not wear my glasses, it literally would be probably be putting my eyebrows on fire before I noticed it. That's how blind I am.
Oh, I think I'm gonna see if we can find a scientist to do that study on you, because not that I want you to be on but that's
thanks, bud. Your iris, which is the colored part of your eye. What color eyes do you have, Michael?
They're like greenish. I got some of them there, eye freckles in there too. Some little spots of brown. Okay.
So yeah, you're just all over the color spectrum there.
Yeah, I got crazy eyes.
Almost. Well, I have solid blue eyes. And your iris, which is the colored part of your eye, has 256 unique characteristics, which is very, very interesting because your fingerprint has only 40.
So that's better at identifying a person, like differentiating between people.
I would think so. I would think by now they would have a task force of eye printing. Like instead of fingerprinting, mm-hmm. they would take somebody's eyeball and scan it.
Well, if the movies...
And then put it in the database.
If the movies are to be believed, that's used for like security and stuff. I don't think, what are they doing with your, they can't take like eyeball prints from like crimes and stuff though.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe if somebody said, oh, I saw somebody, they had blue eyes with a freckle on the left one.
What are you trying to
and
do?
Then they,
are you trying to frame me for a crime?
And they apprehended you, and then they looked into your eyes and said, this guy has a freckle on his left eye. It's him.
This sounds dystopian. Yeah.
So the average person blinks 12 times a minute.
Damn it. I blunk.
You blinked. You blunked.
I blunked.
The shark cornea is nearly identical to the human cornea and has even been used in human eye surgery. So
they gave
if I ever have
shark
eyes. I want shark eyes. Do you? Does that mean that you can see 80 meters down below in the dark?
I don't know.
100
is that
yards
is that,
away from you?
Is that from their brain or is that from their eyes that they can see like that?
It,
do sharks
it says
have different
cornea.
Brains than we do? Oh.
Well, yeah.
Cool. You I could like have some shark eyes and then like a pig heart and you could be like an animal person.
A bi-animal person.
A bi-animal
yeah. person. Not,
I know what you were saying.
Not bi-human, bi-animal person.
So you'd be like a tri-animal because you'd be human, pig, shark.
Okay, yeah, tri-animal. So that's very interesting. So if I ever get my cornea damaged or I just purposely scratch it because I want a shark cornea put in place, I'll let you know how it works out.
Yeah, that would actually kind of be awesome. When I was a kid, did you ever see the movie Last Action Hero?
Yes.
That guy had the bombs that he kept in his glass eyes.
Yes, yes.
I used to try when I was like, I was probably like 12 or 13 years old when that movie came out. And I used to like try to sleep with my eyes open so that they would dry out and I would have to get glass eyes so that I could put bombs in them.
Oh my God. Did your mom ever wonder like, honey, why are your eyes so dry and red?
I don't know. I mean, because it never worked. Like,
right.
But that was something that I always wanted. I always wanted to get glass eyes so that I could put bombs in them. I don't know why.
That's awesome.
Oh, I was a weird kid.
Okay, so that was some fun facts. Now we're going to get into a little bit of the grittiness.
Yeah, let's get to the gross stuff. That's what I'm here for.
Yes, that's what we love to talk about. The grosser, the better.
The grosser, the better. And I bet there is some gross-ass shit that goes on with people's eyeballs.
Oh, yes. All right, so first I'm going to explain what I found on Wikipedia about the start of this procedure before I go into the story of what happened to this girl. So sclera tattooing, or I'm just going to call eyeball tattooing. Of course, it's the practice of tattooing the sclera or the white part of your eyeball so that the ink or dye is not injected into the tissue, but between two layers of the eye where it then spreads out over the large area. And this is so recent. This is not something the Chinese did in, 600 BCA or the Romans or any. I'm talking recent as of 2007,
which is
not that far.
Yeah,
ago.
And that doesn't even sound that cool. Like, you're not getting like, like a tribal tattoo or like a picture of Batman or something. You just getting your white part a different color.
Right.
That's dumb.
So in late 2007, an article was written in Body Modification. There is a magazine out there strictly for body modification describing the first three eye tattoo procedures performed on sighted eyes. So I don't know if this was ever practiced on dead eyes.
When you said sighted, I thought you just meant like blind people. Like I was trying to figure out why they would do that.
Yeah, they had to be fresh, alive, and be able to see visually in order for them to do these tattoos, which I don't understand why you couldn't do it on a blind person that had eyes, but because they're not going to know. They can't see it.
No.
If it's all jacked up. But this tattoo artist, known as Luna Cobra, experimented on three volunteers. So one of the volunteers, Sharon, which is a guy, he first got the idea after a Dutch eye surgeon gave Sharon's then wife an implant. No, not a fake eye, but a small piece of jewelry that was inserted over the sclera. So the surgeon would inject a small drop of saline in order to create like this fluid-filled pocket and then insert this piece of jewelry into it in the eye. And then the saline would gradually drain and the sac would shrink and leave behind this piece of jewelry in this lady's eye.
Oh, that also sounds horrible.
Why would you want jewelry in your eyeball?
I don't know. If you get something in your like eye, it like is irritating until you get it out. Like, why would you want that there constantly?
So Sharon imagined, well, what if the saline is replaced with ink, which would then spread and end up as a colored layer between the sclera and the white part in your eye, the layers, giving the white of the eye a new color. So eventually this body modification tattoo artist, Cobra, agreed to give it a try, okay? But only if Shannon could find two others willing to have their eyeballs colored. So,
yeah,
which,
don't
if
say
you're going to screw,
because it's not a tattoo.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to screw this up anyways, why wouldn't you only want to screw it up on one person instead of three?
I don't know. This whole thing sounds weird.
Okay. So Cobra has these three people who volunteer. He then goes and tries two different procedures. Now, remember, this guy has never done this before. And really, I don't think anyone had done this before him. And it's not like he could just go on YouTube and find a video of someone showing him how to tattoo an eyeball.
Yeah, that's how I learn how to do everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. So the first method was just covering the needle with ink and puncturing the eye. What the fuck is that? You're puncturing the eyeball.
Oh,
it didn't work.
No. And did the person go blind?
Not yet.
Not yet.
The second method was where the sclera, and first of all, this guy is just a tattoo artist. How does he even know what or how far down a sclera is in the eyeball?
He could probably look that up on YouTube.
Yeah, but I mean, doesn't that take training and medical research?
But apparently it does not.
Apparently. So his second method was injecting with a blue dye, which ended up being successful. Okay, so I guess they say the procedures were effectively painless because there's no nerve endings in the surface of the eye. Are you kidding me? Effectively painless?
Effectively painless.
Who the fuck says that?
Inject ink into your eyeball. No.
And then willy-nilly says, oh, it didn't really hurt.
It didn't hurt. The guy didn't go blind. So it's fine. We're doctors now.
Yeah. Yeah. I did a medical procedure on an eyeball. I'm now an ophthalmologist.
I did a medicine. I guess that means that we're doctors now, too.
Oh, I am a PhD now. This is my fourth episode.
Awesome. I'm an intern.
Yes. I am done with my dissertation. I'm getting my PhD, and I'm going to go study at any hospital that will take me.
Your dissertation on ass fish.
Yeah. Ass. Hashtag ass fish.
No, you got to say it faster than that.
Ashfish.
Ashfish.
I can't say it. Ashfish. Ashfish. Okay, I'm drinking me another one.
Yep.
Okay. So the after effects include, in quotations, fairly minor pain, bruising, and just a little discomfort.
Mm-hmm. Horrible scarring, pus dripping
bleeding
out of your eyeballs, blindness. Nobody wants to talk to you anymore. You scare children. These are all the side effects.
One-eyed monster. Now, I'm thinking that these side effects, that is, if you didn't go to some prison tattoo artist in a basement and get this done, then you may be called One-Eye Willy or something. Mm-hmm. Because this, it's not like this is a shop open up every three blocks with somebody swinging a sign, hey, get your eyeball tattooed here.
Yeah, like, because nobody in their right mind would want it done.
This isn't Little Caesar spinning their, you know, advertisement sign.
Tattoo.
Okay, so this procedure, get this, can cause loss of vision, severe permanent pain, and, surprise, surprise, loss of eye.
Oh, permanent pain.
Permanent
pain in your eyeball.
And it hurts when I get an eyelash in there and I can't get it out for at least 10 minutes. I'm in pain.
Mm-hmm. I don't want permanent pain anywhere, but especially in my eyes.
Right. Your eyes that you use to see everything.
I mean, that's usually what I use them for.
Yeah. Sometimes I use them as coasters. I'm laying back in my bed and I'll put some tea bags on there to get my dark circles out of my eyes. But
oh,
I mean,
okay. So just tea bags, coasters. When you said coasters, I don't know what the hell I was thinking. It was just a weird way to put it.
I know. I'm four drinks in, so, and we got two stories, so. This is the fun part.
Especially when we break the rules and start considerably before we started recording. Start at dinner time, start recording at 10 p.m.
I didn't tell you what I had before the coronas.
I hope it wasn't. Wait, is it beer before liquor makes you sicker? Yeah.
Beer before liquor, never sicker. Liquor before beer in the clear.
Okay, so you're okay. So you had the liquor before.
Yes.
Okay, then you're all right.
All right. So the author of this article from Body Modification.
Oh, we're still talking about the eyeball tattooing.
I'm almost done.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just explaining what it is. I haven't actually told you the story.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's already terrible enough.
So the author of this article warns people that this should not be performed without a professional. Okay, do you just go to /tattoo school and do like 6-week course to become professional? I mean, really, is there a professional eye tattooing academy? Come join us for 6 weeks of learning, studying, figuring out what colors will match the irises to best fit your customer, and we will graduate you with your diploma and get you on your way to just tattoo eyeballs. No.
Do the aesthetics count? Like, are they, you know, doing like complementary colors to your eyeballs, or are they just sort of, I want my eye red?
Well, from the pictures that I've looked at, most people just choose goth dark colors. Red, black. Most of them are black because they want it to be a dark, demonic,
demonic
look.
I want to look like I was in a new metal band in 2003.
But he really listens to Creed on his playlist.
Let me look like I was in Limp Bizkit. But I want that all the time. No contacts for me.
Yeah. Oh. So here we go. I'm going to tell you a story about a decision to tattoo an eyeball that ends in partial blindness. This is a true story. So, an already heavily inked Canadian resident girl had the opportunity to tattoo her eyeball, and she chose the color purple.
Oh, well.
Because she loves purple.
Well, yeah, who doesn't love purple?
How nice.
I wouldn't want my eyeball that color.
No, I wouldn't either. Not if you had like brown eyes or something, and then this is like a soft lavender purple. Those colors don't match. Yeah. They don't go together. It's very unfashionable.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem with this story, is how fashionable the color that she chose was. Go ahead.
Okay. So as I mentioned earlier about this procedure, a visual effect that has gained popularity recently among those who practice extreme body modification. But for this girl, something went horribly wrong. So she goes and gets this purple ink put in her eye, and shortly after, and I'm talking very shortly after, purple ink starts oozing out of her eye and trickles down her cheek. Mm-hmm. Like she's crying purple rain.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The next day, her eye was swollen shut and eventually became so painful and started becoming infected.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks later, the internal swelling remained, and the doctors told her she was at risk of going permanently blind in the affected area. But this girl's love for the color purple and body modification has left her partially blinded and in excruciating pain at this point, because she just loved purple so much.
She let this infection in her eye go for 3 weeks before she went to a doctor.
Yes.
Okay. Are these people only getting one of their eyes tattooed?
Well, this one did only get one, because the minute she got it done, it literally just started like coming out of her eyeball in a like faucet down her cheek. So she wasn't smart. At least she was smart enough not to get the second eye.
Let's not give this girl any more credit than she deserves. She was not smart enough for anything.
No, and she's going to sound even dumber here in a minute. So she began posting public Facebook updates about her eye to warn others against the procedure. By then, she said she had visited the hospital several times and had been prescribed a slew of antibiotic and steroid eye drops to reduce inflammation. Her vision in that eye had blurred and showed no signs of improving. She states, "There are multiple people who can attest that my aftercare was good and any other part of what I am saying. I'm not sharing this with you to cause trouble. I'm sharing this to warn you to research." I'm sharing this to warn you to not
get your ever eyeball get tattooed.
This done.
Jeez.
Okay.
Do your research on research. Who injects the ink into your eyeballs.
Exactly. She says, research who you get your procedures done by, as well as how the procedure should be done properly. In later updates and in her comments, okay, this is the kicker. She accused the person who had tattooed her eyeball of misstating his qualifications and training, and said she planned on taking legal action.
Mm-hmm.
It was her boyfriend who she didn't know that he wasn't qualified. Dumbass.
I have nothing to say about that. Like, how long were they dating?
It doesn't say, but I think if somebody's going to tattoo my eyeball, I would. So what have you done before? How many of these have you done?
Yeah. And if you were
how does this work?
If you were dating someone, I would think that you would know that they were tattooing people's eyeballs.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know if she's blaming now, but she says the procedure was done by someone who told me that they were experienced. It is my fault that I believed him. It is my fault that I gave in when they repeatedly asked me to do my eye. Honey, you're a woman. Stand up for yourself and say no.
Yeah. Or, oh, he was.
Hell no.
Okay. He was pressuring her to do it.
Right. After a while, he was pressuring her, but she still didn't know how much knowledge and experience he had.
I hate him and her.
So she's already had, and she's not unknown to the tattoo world. So she probably has friends or hangs out at tattoo parlors, maybe even met a boyfriend there. Maybe he's a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
That's... Doing skin and eyeballs are separate.
Yeah. Yeah, tattoos on your skin, cool. Tattoos on your eyeball, no, never. Please don't.
No, never. Please don't. Don't. So she had about 25 tattoos on her body, and she had undergone another risky procedure to split her tongue to make it appear forked.
Yeah, I know. I actually know a couple people with the forked tongues, but that's a procedure that they do at those types of places. Like, there is procedures for that.
Yeah.
And it's not.
I still don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either, but I guess whatever.
So since she's, I guess she feels she is, you know, pretty well up there in getting all these tattoos and having a forked tongue, that she thought the next step would be getting the eyeball tattoo, but didn't do enough research and gave in too soon to the pressure of her boyfriend. So during the procedure, she said he made many errors. He did not mix the ink with the saline. He used a large needle instead of a small one, which went too deep into the eye. And instead of doing several small dosages, this girl just took one large injection during a 10-minute seating.
Oh, God. This is the worst. This is the worst. I would rather have a frozen fish stuck up my ass than have my eyeball have ink injected into my eyeball.
So she later updated her Facebook and tearfully described the pain as excruciating and hoped to undergo surgery the next week to remove the excess ink from her eye. I don't know. Did this guy put like a cup of ink in this girl's eye? I mean,
I'm just picturing one of those big, like those big syringes that they like use for like the horse antibiotics. Oh,
filled it up and then just went,
just
squirted it.
Yeah. Just filled it up. Just fill up that eyeball. There's nothing else important in there.
Yeah. Yeah. God. It'll hold it. I mean, it's liquid. Yeah. Your eyes got liquid in
Your
it.
Your eyes do have liquid in you it. Know? But it's specialty liquid that's supposed to be there.
Yeah. So even the American Academy of Ophthalmology, AAO, strongly recommends against eyeball tattooing, noting such risk as blindness or worse, because there was even a case documented earlier this year in which a 24-year-old man had to have an eye removed after an eyeball tattoo gone wrong. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to do that story because I really wanted to do this one first. But yes, there is a 24-year-old man this year that had the same ink put into his eye, got infected. He's extreme pain and they are removing his eyeball.
Ugh.
Because no matter what they do, he can't seem to get away from the pain.
I guess that would be your only choice. The only thing I have to say about this one is, please, doctors that remove this guy's eyeball, do not let him have a bomb glass eye. I don't think he's responsible enough to handle that sort of thing.
He might go and bomb the tattoo place. Throw his eyeball. Yeah. Damn you. I wanted blue and not red.
Yeah, I also don't think he would be smart enough to take it out and throw it either.
No. So the original eyeball tattooer, Luna Cobra, which he's from Australian, he also claims to have, of course, he claims to have invented this about a decade ago, which is the only history I can find that he is the first person to have ever tattooed an eyeball. But even he says that on his website that getting this procedure done by copycats, because I guess he's the one and only trained master, is dangerous. So last but not least, he states, I have personally have not trained anyone else to do this procedure. I have appeared on various TV/news segments, and I have inspired many copycats around the world. This is important to know because without proper education, training, experience, and guidance, these practitioners, which are tattoo artists, have caused vision impairments like blurred vision, spots or floaters, and even blindness. Yes, people are now blind from eyeball tattooing.
Yeah, good.
Don't do it.
Don't get your eyeballs tattooed.
No.
The only thing I will say is I don't think that would cause the floaters because the floaters are from a completely different part of the eye.
Right. They're the cornea?
They're from the cornea, the back of the eye. That's where those floaters come from. Or it's like, but you know, there was a time in my life where I could remember things and stuff. Now is not that time. But yeah, it's from like the back of your eye. It's when your like retina mm-hmm. is starting to detach. That's when you start getting those floaties.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
So I don't think that the eyeball tattooing would cause the floaties, but still don't tattoo
your eyeball. Just don't do it, people.
Just leave it. It's white. It's fine.
Right.
It doesn't have to be purple.
We accept people with white eyes. I mean, if you want to go crazy, you can always go to your ophthalmologist, get fitted, and get those crazy Halloween contacts.
Yeah, they make the contacts. And for the most part, like those contacts are way cooler looking. Like you can get black ones with skulls on them. Like that's fucking awesome. Like to have a blue, whatever you were calling the white part of the eye, sclera or whatever.
Glara.
To have a purple one of those, like, whatever. It's not black with a cool skull.
And you can never change it.
It's
stuck.
You can get a red one with a devil head or, like, a white one or, like, a yellow one with a smiley face, like in the movie Last Action Hero. Buy it now on VHS tape. I don't know why. I don't know why I keep talking about the Last Action Hero.
I don't know why you mentioned VHS. Who has a VHS?
I don't know. That's
in
just
their house anymore.
Because back in the day when I saw the movie, that's when that's where it came out. I'm old.
Okay. Oh, don't talk about old now. Okay. Our last story. I saved, I think, the best for last. Oh,
I cannot wait.
Have you rubbed your eyes at all? During this,
not so far. I'm
okay.
Purposely keeping my glasses
on. Not trying to do it.
I've been closing them a lot.
That's good. Okay. So I found this great story on National Geographic that was published back in 2018. And it involves...
Oh, so this is a recent gross one. I hope there's lots of pus dripping out of whatever this story is coming from.
So, parasitic worms found in a woman's eye.
No.
First case of its kind. Okay. An Oregon woman's infection marks the first time on record that an eye worm species normally found in cattle has been seen in humans. So, get ready.
I'm not ready.
Okay, Abby Beckley was salmon fishing in Alaska, where she felt something in her left eye. She says it felt like an eyelash is poking you, but try as she might, the 26-year-old couldn't find the hair or anything else in her eye, and the feeling just wouldn't go away. And after about 5 days of just constantly rubbing your eye and trying to pick out what you think is hair or loose eyelashes, she becomes so frustrated. So one morning she woke and she was like, if it's the last thing I do, I'm gonna get whatever the heck is in my eye out of there. So she gathers up her courage, pulled back her eyelid, pinched the inflamed skin underneath, and gave it a good yank.
Oh, God.
When she looked down at her finger, there was a worm. Beckley is now the first person in the world known to have been infected with a particular species of eye worm called Thierlaisia. A parasitic worm had been seen in cattle eyes, a normal pit stop in its life cycle, but never ever before in a human eye. So what's more interesting is hers is the only in the 11th human case recorded in U.S. history that this eye worm has been seen.
Okay, so it was so, in 10 cows before.
No, this worm is so hard to find. One is they're so little, and I'll tell you about their growth process to make it why they don't ever find this type of eye worm generally right away. But because it was in her eye, a human eye, it was able to be detected because the growth period of this worm stopped and didn't move on to its next host.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but she didn't know any of that as she stared at the worm on her finger in the summer of 2016. She didn't know she was the 11th person in the world to have had this eye worm or this species in history. So the small, nearly transparent creature wiggled for a few seconds,
mm-hmm.
and then died.
And then just died.
So she's a fisherman. And it sounds like a very outdoorsy person. Mm-hmm. So she had actually seen similar looking worms in salmon. And she was wondering if somehow she accidentally transferred one to her eye, you know, by touching the salmon or gutting the salmon and then touching her eye. But then more worms started to appear. And it became clear this is a bigger problem than she thought.
Mm-hmm.
So she states, I was just pulling them out. So I knew there was a lot of them because I couldn't stop pulling them out of my eye. So she was started to get worried about the proximity of the creepy crawlers to her brain, thinking, I guess, that they would crawl behind her eye and then move up to the brain.
That would be my first concern as well.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. So that was her concern, creepy crawlies to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So she decided to return to Portland, where her boyfriend's father was a doctor, and he prepared the medical staff at Oregon Health and Science University for her arrival. So she got pretty lucky there with some instant help. At the hospital, she states that they basically rolled out the red carpet, and the doctors and interns gathered around, hoping to see the rare eye worm. They seemed a little bit skeptical at first, she says, and suggested that maybe what had looked like a worm to her was really just mucus. You know, sometimes you get the eye booger, you pull it out, and it's a little stringy. Okay.
Yeah.
But Beckley kept, are you okay?
No, I'm not okay. You're about to tell me about how this worm was in this woman's eye, and then it probably laid eggs, and she had a bajillion worm babies, and then I'm going to have to cut my hands off so that I never touch my eyes again, because I don't ever want worms in my eyes. I don't know what I ever did to you to deserve this sort of treatment.
You wanted something good and juicy.
Oh, and I thought it couldn't get any worse than the infections coming from the tattoos.
So let's go on and find out what happens to these worm eggs.
Yep, let's hear about these eggs.
Okay. So the doctor seemed a bit skeptical at first. Of course, I said that as, you know, they thought she just had mucus. But Beckley kept insisting that there were worms in her eyes, in her eye. I mean, it's one of those like, you know, doctor, I know it's there. I know it's there. And they're like, I don't see nothing. Mm-hmm. No, just wait, just wait. So for the next half hour, she sat with the hospital staff staring into her eye the whole time, waiting for a worm to appear.
Mm-hmm.
She states, I'll never forget when the doctor and the intern saw it wiggle across my eye. He freaked out, jumped back, and was like, oh my God, I just saw it. I saw it, I saw it.
Okay, so these things were on the outside?
They were on... kind of like with the eyeball tattoo, they were in between a couple layers in the eye. Somehow and in the eyelid under the skin.
Somehow that's the worst possibility. I was expecting like the eyeball to be filled or like it living on like the back of the eyeball where the skull is like hollowed out. But somehow in between... is the worst possible situation.
Right.
I hate everything
it's
about
in your eye.
I hate everything about today.
Okay. So, ophthalmologist, this is just another day in the office for me. Ophthalmologist managed to snag one of the worms from Beckley's eye. Although it did break in half, they were able to send the piece of the worm to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, otherwise known as CDC. Mm-hmm. That worm and actually several more pulled from her eye made their way to Richard Bradbury, who leads the CDC, the nation's primary resource for identifying rare parasites. So they analyzed nearly 6,700 mystery samples last year alone on rare parasites. We got some freaky stuff in our environment.
There's 6,600 rare parasites.
Yes. Ugh. In 1 year alone. Ugh. So all of these parasites are rare. And this one is so extremely rare. He had to dig out a German research paper from 1928 to finally be able to identify this species as the Thalassia species. Okay, this is how it's processed. The worms are carried by face flies, which feed on the tears of cattle, horses, and dogs. You may have seen them buzzing around an animal's eye if you go to a farm or have farm animals. The worm larvae can mature only inside a face fly's digestive tract and organs, and then they find the way into the fly's mouth part.
No.
So when the fly lands on an eyeball and begins to drink the tears, The late stage worm larvae climbs out of the fly's mouth and goes into the eye. There, they finish their transformation into adults. They grow up and produce more larvae, which must get picked up by another face fly and then moved on to another animal. If not, the worms die.
Mm-hmm.
They don't then transition further and further. So in her case, there was no way for them to continue their life cycle. Uh-huh. So they all are going to die.
Good.
Thank God they're not going to be making more larvae babies.
Good.
So it's still a mystery exactly how the worms got into her eye, but they suspect it may have happened when she passed through a cattle pasture.
Okay.
Again, it's very, 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 very rare. But it can happen.
My eyes are all itchy now. I think I have worms. I think I have worms in my eyeballs. And it's your fault you put them there.
I put them there. The face flies landed and spit out their larva into your eyeball.
Oh, God.
The ending part. In one bit of good news, the worms don't burrow into the eyeball itself, but instead take up residency on the soft tissue under the eyelids and around the eye socket. So once in the eyeball, there's not really any treatment options.
I have a treatment option. You can put gasoline in it and then start it on fire. Because that's the only way I would be able to make sure that this never happened to anyone else.
Then you would be blind.
Hopefully I would be and dead. Then
sometimes they use anti-parasitic drugs to kill them, but these can actually worsen inflammation. So in Beckley's case, the best treatment, and I don't think you could handle this, the best treatment was for her to gently pull them out one by one over a course of 20 days. She pulled out 14 worms out of her eyes, her eye.
Nope.
Could you imagine knowing?
No, I would go with the gasoline and the match. Just burn that eyeball right out of there.
I mean, going to bed and waking up and going, I got to see if I can pull some more worms out today.
All right, here's Stan. Oh. And this one's Juliet.
This one's Willie. Now, don't panic that you're going to get eye worms. Not only is it extremely rare for a person to get a face fly in their eye, it's even more rare for the fly to stick around long enough to even deposit the worm larvae. And if one gets in the eye, just remove it right away. So Beckley's worms didn't leave any lasting damage, thank goodness. Her vision is fine. A year and a half later, she had trouble even remembering which eye the worms were in, which I don't think I'd ever forget.
I don't think I would ever forget. And the problem is, I'm not worried about getting worms. I know for a fact that I have the worms now.
Are you a hypochondriac?
I wasn't, but I am now about these eye worms.
Well, in case you're wondering, because I know you probably are, Beckley didn't keep any of those worms that she pulled out of her eye. She stated, "I do not want to spend any more time with those things than I needed to."
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
And that
she should have put them into a glass full of gasoline. We need to rid the world of these worms by fire.
She probably just rubbed them off on her jeans or something. Like an eye booger. Just wiped it off on her jeans. Okay.
Yeah, probably after a couple of them. Then it's like, yeah, all right, here's another worm. Smoosh it in between your fingers and flick it like a booger.
Yeah, there you go. Because it's going to die. We did it. Yeah. You made it through an episode of Drunk Medical Stories.
You know what? It's a lot more fun to listen to your show. Because somehow...
And that was, to me, an easy case. Yeah,
somehow listening to other people react to it is different than having to sit here and think about these stories. I think that was the problem. I had to think about it. Mm-hmm. And it was just miserable.
Yeah, there's some of them that turn my stomach. We haven't got to those yet, but I don't look forward to listening nor reading those stories when I get to
them. I do look forward to it because I'm never going to be on your show again.
Oh.
No, that's not true. I'm sure. Okay. I'm sure I'll be on again.
Well, I will need a guest host now, you know, here and there. Claire's went on her honeymoon and she's newly married, so I'm sure they'll take a vacation sometime. I'll need you to fill in.
All right. But the eye stuff is over. Promise me.
Yes, I promise you the eye stuff is all over okay. with.
All right. Do you have any?
But that doesn't mean there won't be juicier stories.
Moister story.
I mean, I can talk about gangrene. I can talk about maggots in the foot. I can find some really more gruesome stories next time.
I don't know. I think I can handle the gangrene and the maggots eating people's flesh as long as it's not in their freaking eyeballs again.
Yeah, eyeballs are pretty touchy. Like, it's to me, it's eyeballs and ears. I cannot handle listening to stories or seeing videos of bugs in people's ears.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Being pulled out.
Yeah. For me, it's eyeballs and teeth. Okay, like dental noted stories. Teeth. Oh, I shouldn't have told you that. Should I have?
I noted it. Sorry. Too late.
That was, damn it. That was your plan the whole time. Give him a bunch of Coronas, and then by then I'll find his other weakness.
Yep, I
you're
found
an evil,
it.
You're an evil person.
Well, I am just so happy that you were able to fill in and be a guest on the show. Enjoy the Coronas that I have. And so I'd like to know, what are you guys up to?
What are we up to?
Yeah.
Not a whole heck of a lot. I mean, after what happened in October, it's kind of settled down back to almost normal. My life's not super great right now, but getting through it. Jack is still, you know, Jack. Actually, I have, I do have an idea for a podcast for you. An episode. I don't know. Well, I do know that you listen to the show, so you know that Jack's penis is just a mess.
No. Oh, is it a mess?
It's a mess. It's gotten somehow mauled by monkeys and slammed into dressing room doors and a whole host of other things. I think it would make a good episode of your podcast to do an episode on it. And I think we can actually trick Jack into thinking that you guys are actual doctors and then letting you have a go at that thing.
That sounds right up my alley. And I think that would be fun. And I certainly can bring on a doctor's voice, and I can trick him, play with him, tease him, whatever you need me to do about Jack's penis.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's talk about it off the air, even though I know he doesn't even listen to our podcast. So he's definitely not going to listen to your podcast. So we could talk about it on here, but I don't think anybody wants to really hear about. If they want to hear about Jack's penis, they can listen to Jack Billings Presents Me and My Neighbor Michael.
How many coronas have you had?
Listen, lady, that's none of your damn business.
Awesome. Okay. Well, that was great. I just want to say one thing before we stop recording. Tubes.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Drunk Medical Stories. We hope that you had a great laugh and maybe learned a few things. Be well today, my friends, neighborhood friends.
If you enjoyed the episode and this podcast, please.
Please. please.
Help us spread the word. We would love if you would subscribe, rate, and review it.
It'll help people know that they're out there, Michael.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing's caring.
Their cover art was designed by podcastdesigns.com. The sound editor for this episode was Michael Colby. If you would like more content, check out their Facebook group, Drunk Medical Stories Podcast.
If you don't have anything nice to say, well, then don't bother to leave a comment or just don't listen again. Easy freaking peasy. Yeah.
If you have a story you would like to share, send it to them at dmspodcast@yahoo.com.
To respect the privacy, please remove names from your cases. If these ladies like your story, they might just feature it. So until next episode, live life to its fullest. Yeah, medicine!